I'd like to open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19, familiar passage to us all. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 8 this afternoon. And as usual, our message is a little bit shorter this afternoon. Well, I always say that, but sometimes it doesn't end up that way. But anyhow, and the title of the message is A Man of Like Passions. A Man of Like Passions. And we see here Jehovah's tender care of his prophet who was overwrought in his life, within his inner being. And God had just given Elijah a great victory over the prophets of Baal. And Elijah had challenged the people as to whom they would follow in chapter 18, whether they will follow the Lord or Baal. And then they took two bullocks for sacrifice, one for the priests of Baal, one for Elijah. And the priests of Baal had put on a frenzied show at their altar, trying to call down fire from their God, much to their failure, even to the letting of the blood and cutting themselves to do so. And you find that in 1 Kings 18, 28 and 29. But Elijah, he built his altar out of 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of Jacob. And three times he poured water on the wood and the altar, and it ran all around and down and filled the trenches around it. And he called upon the God of heaven, and the fire of the Lord came down and consumed the sacrifice. And Elijah had all the prophets killed, and he ran supernaturally to Jezreel. And that's where what has gone on before we get to our passage of scripture in chapter 19. And what an amazing victory that Elijah had. And can you imagine, you know what it's like when you have a victory over something in your life? Man, you're on top of the mountain. Nothing can get you down. You feel great, and nothing's going to get in your way. Nothing's going to pull you down. And he would have been like that. He would have been excited that the plan God gave him, the victory that God had given him, and he would have been in that state of amazement. And we come to verse 1 of chapter 19, and we read, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." So here's this man who's had this amazing victory over the prophets of Baal and on the top of Mount Carmel. But upon hearing of the news of God's power, and then remember, after that, God sent rain. There'd been a drought, and God sending that rain to end the drought, Ahab and Jezebel refused to listen to God's call and hardened their hearts. You know, many times God lays something on our hearts, and He's calling us to do something, and we stubbornly go, "Oh no, that's He can't be asking me to do that." And when we begin to do that, our hearts also begin to harden to the call of God in our life. Proverbs 29:1 reminds us, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And this became true for Jezebel. She met, remember, with a tragic end in 2 Kings chapter 9. And Hebrews 10:31 reminds us, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And for Elijah, we see, after a great victory, there sometimes follows a not so good reaction. He had stood alone wonderfully for God on Mount Carmel. God used Elijah. He had faced Ahab. And yet now we see him fleeing from a woman named Jezebel, a very wicked queen. You know, this brought to memory about Peter. Remember, Peter was also afraid of the talk of a woman, and he denied his Lord. And you compare them to Nehemiah, who, when he was threatened in Nehemiah 6:11, he said, "Should such a man as I flee?" There's no need to. Why did Elijah flee? Well, James 5:17 tells us why. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. A man of like passions. He failed in the very thing at which he was strongest. Think about that. The very thing in which he was strongest, he failed. And that's where most people fall. He failed in courage. He'd been so courageous on top of that mountain in the face of all those prophets, false prophets, standing there on his own, so courageous, and then he failed in courage through the words of Jezebel. Remember Abraham, he was a man of faith. And yet he failed in faith in Genesis 20 when he said Sarah was only his sister, scared of the kings. Job, the most patient of men, lost patience in Job 21:4. Moses, the meekest of men, spoke harsh and bitter words. Why? Why would they... people fail. Why do they fail? Why do we fail in the strongest areas? Well, maybe it's because we fail to watch the strong places in our character, and we become a little bit lazy about them, and we become complacent, and we become self-confident, and we think to ourselves, "Oh, that part, that doesn't bother me in the Christian walk. Oh, I can handle that. I've never fell to that before." Remember the very thing Peter said he would never do, denying his Lord, he did. The very thing he said he would never do, he did. That Peter, a man mentioned, I think, 180 plus times in the New Testament. Paul was only mentioned 160. He failed in the place he thought he was strongest. 1 Corinthians 10:12 is a reminder, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." You see, Elijah had been very strong in God's strength. But when that was gone, he was weak as any man there was. A man of like passion with ourselves. You see, he looked away from God and he saw only the power of Jezebel before him. And he was afraid. Just a day or so earlier, he's had this mighty victory. One word from a queen, and he's scared. Why? He's taken his eyes off the Lord. He hasn't stood firm in his faith. Verse 3, "And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. You know, the difficulties that we face, sometimes daily we face difficulties, the difficult people that we sometimes have to deal with, if we get our eyes off God, they will always seem much more powerful than what they really are. And we need to keep our focus ever upon the Lord, to walk in His strength and to overcome the difficulties and difficult people we come up against. The psalmist said in Psalm 25:15, "My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." You know, we see Elijah, he was lonely, he stood alone for God, yet God reminded him he had 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal, but at that stage on Mount Carmel, he was alone. You may be in a place where you think you're the only Christian at work or out wherever you gather, but there are others who would be glad to know you belong to Christ, who would long to have fellowship with you, to give you encouragement. You know, it was a blessing yesterday. We found out as my the head nurse that's going to be in charge of Deborah at the hospital is a born-again Christian. What comfort that brought to her when she heard that. But someone else had to tell her. Elijah prayed. You notice he prayed that he would die. It wasn't that long ago he was praying the fire of God out of heaven. But now he's afraid and everything's changed. Verse 4 says, "He went himself a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, 'It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.'" He prayed he might die, and I was wondering why did he pray that? And then I could see there, he prayed he might die because he was afraid he was going to die. He was running away from Jezebel because she had threatened him. And he prays that he might die. You know, this brings in an inconsistency. He was inconsistent with his unbelieving fears. See, God, who had protected him against the prophets and against Ahab, surely could do the same against a woman called Jezebel. You know, if he had been strong in his faith, imagine how different everything would have appeared to him. And this is a courageous man who is now praying a cowardly prayer because he thought he's the only prophet left. Now, if he was the only prophet left, surely he was needed more than he's ever been needed before. Surely he had to think that. Elisha had not yet been called to carry on Elijah's work. There was no one yet to take up the mantle. No one yet. And the reason Elijah gave for wanting to die was the very reason he should have wanted to live. Now, which one of us haven't, at some time or another, wanted to throw in the towel? Give it up. Because the going had got tough and got difficult. David was like that. Psalm 56, he said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest." There you go. "Lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." David learned afterwards that to make his refuge under the shadow of God's wings was far better than trying to get underneath the wings of a dove. You see, Elijah had something better to look forward to than dying in the wilderness. And we may be struggling in life right now, wondering what decisions to make. If we stand fast and stand in our faith and trust God, we too have something better to look forward to than what's happening right now. If you look at 2 Kings 2:11, it says, "And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." He would have missed all of that if God had answered his prayer under that juniper tree. He would have missed the whirlwind, the chariots, the fire. He would have missed all of it if God had said, "Okay, then you want to die, I'll let you die." You know, Elijah under this juniper tree has become the picture as a time of depression. And it's not for God's dear child to go and sit under that tree. We have a God greater than anything that's going to be troubling our lives. I wonder how happy Elijah was that that prayer wasn't answered when that fire and the chariots all turned up. It would do us as believers the world of good, to thank God for the unanswered prayers that we've put up, which have been offered in ignorance, offered up in foolishness, offered up in faithlessness, not trusting that God has a far better thing for us if we just wait and hang on and wait it out. Now, it was a cowardly prayer. And he also prayed, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's." Notice what he said, "That's enough." But it's not enough because the work wasn't finished. And until God is finished with you and me, it is never enough. You know, we like Elijah cannot say as Paul did in 2 Timothy 4, "I've fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith." We haven't finished yet. We're still in the fight. Jesus himself said in John 17:4, "I've glorified thee on earth, I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do." We're not finished yet. If God was finished with us, we'd be with him. And Elijah says, "It's enough. I've had enough." But God had more blessings in store for him. You know, sometimes we are prepared to say it's enough. The emotional hurt is too much, Lord. The stress is enough. The sorrow, the heartache is enough. The loneliness and the trial is enough, O God. We feel like we can no longer bear any more. But we need to remember 1 Corinthians 10:13 that God will not put us through anything more than we are able to bear. And we get in a hard time and we forget those wonderful promises because it's enough. And we need to remember that we can bear a lot more than we really want to. A lot more than we really want to. And God knows how much we can bear. And when we're under the pressure and under the pump, we need to be thanking God that he will take us through. In verse 5, we see the Lord's tenderness towards Elijah. "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat." So here's God's weary, discouraged, down of heart, depressed, overwrought child, no doubt nervously exhausted. And really the main reason for the state, his mental condition, was the fact that it was largely physical. Not all up in his head, was largely physical. And God, who made him, knew his frame. He remembered he was dust, and God allowed him to get some sleep. Now, we don't always make allowances for these bodies of ours. And a depression we think that may be coming only from spiritual warfare, so to speak, or spiritual causes, may largely be the result of something physical, overwork, weariness, and tiredness. And as sleep restores a tired body, so Psalm 23:3, He, that's God, restoreth my soul. Remember Jesus in Mark 6 said to his weary disciples, he said, come ye out yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. So God lets him sleep, then God feeds him with food that God himself had prepared. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. You know, when we've been tired and worn out and probably discouraged, how often the Lord has given us food to sustain us, food from his word to strengthen us and uplift us. Remember Jeremiah 15 said, thy words were found and I did eat them. Matthew, the Lord said, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isaiah said, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. See, God did everything he could to show his servant how much he loved him and would care for him. Now, John 13 reminds us, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. You know, God's love for us is an everlasting love which nothing at all can change. And even though Elijah had failed God, God never failed Elijah. God's love for us does not depend on our love for him. He loves us regardless. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for us. You know, when you're under the pump and you're feeling really down, like Elijah, you've got to allow God to minister to you. This is what Elijah has done. You've got to allow God to take control and minister his grace to your life. Simple what he did with Elijah. Get some rest. Eat some good food. Get a bit more rest. And God took care of him and up he rose. What a God we have whose love never changes. He will love us to the end, us who are men of like passions as Elijah. Rest in him. Trust him. Live in his strength. Allow him to minister his grace to you, and you'll live and walk in victory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for this wonderful, wonderful word of Elijah and the victories and the failures. But you never fail. You're there to care for us, to uphold us, to give us all the grace we need. And Lord, may we avail ourselves of your loving care. May we rest and look to you to take care of us, to allow you, Lord, to minister your life-giving grace and mercy upon our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.